Hello and welcome back to Biz Ninja Radio. I thought I should give a little bit of background about what Biz Ninja Radio is and about how it ever even happened. You see, back in 2011, I had gone through a complete business rebuild. My previous businesses had completely collapsed, and I was starting to build from zero again. I did, and it was fun. I learned all about internet marketing and product development and started doing things that were totally new and exciting for me. And so I started Biz Ninja to share that with others and to help other people who were wanting to do something on their own, wanting to be entrepreneurial, wanting to launch a product or learn more about entrepreneurship in general, have a place to come. Now, back in 2011, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't realize how many tools were available to the average entrepreneur. Things today like ClickFunnels make launching and testing a business so fast and easy. And so the show used to air on an NBC affiliate here in Southern California. And it was a couple of years that we ran. We had some great guests. We had everyone from Tim Ferriss, tons of awesome authors and entrepreneurs. We talked about all kinds of products from the Pillow Pet, the Pet Rock, and all kinds of really cool things. And it was a ton of fun. But I didn't really have a reason for doing it other than just enjoying it and wanting to share it with people. This time, when ABC News Radio contacted me on KMET 1490 AM out in Palm Springs, California, when they contacted me and said, "Hey, are you interested in redoing your show and launching it again?" I said, "Well, I might be. One, it used to be an hour long. I said, let's do it shorter so that we can podcast it. People can listen to it maybe on their commute. And it's not so long. I used to do 2 to 3 interviews per session. We'll do one cool interview. I'll do an intro and an outro and we're done. And we'll do one a week. So we're going to do Sundays, 7:30 a.m. This is going to be out broadcasting across Southern California. And then the goal is to have it then podcast ready to go for everybody else that may not be listening here on terrestrial radio and listening on the internet by Monday. And the goal is to help grow the Biz Ninja movement, if you will. And you can follow us at facebook.com/BizNinja. You can check out BizNinja.org/radio for some of our old podcasts and archives. And then check out BizNinja.org to learn about what we're trying to build. My goal is to build a community of like-minded entrepreneurs that want to help each other succeed, to help shorten the learning curve, and to have fun growing their businesses. So today, I have an amazing first guest. I get an interview in just a couple minutes, Neil Patel. Neil started Kiss Metrics, Crazy Egg, Hello Bar, which I know a ton of entrepreneurs use. It's that little bar that can be right at the top of your website that helps people just simply opt in usually. Sometimes you can attach it to an offer. But we're going to talk to him about his new book called Hustle, The Power to Change Your Life with Money, Meaning, and Momentum. We go through things like how resumes today are different, how you should define and own your own version of the American dream, how to launch your personal IPO. We're going to talk about focus. And he's going to tell us a really cool story about watches and Ferraris. You should definitely check him out and learn more about him. But he's going to come on in just a couple minutes, and it's going to be a great interview. In the meantime, sit back, relax, enjoy the Biz Ninja journey, and get ready to grow and learn together. Let's do this. Everybody, want to welcome Neil out to the Biz Ninja Show. Neil Patel is the author of a new book called Hustle, The Power to Change Your Life with Money, Meaning, and Momentum. And more than that, Neil has also started some huge companies and been listed as like the top 30 under 30 entrepreneurs and has a whole host of accolades that if you don't know who he is, I'm a little surprised you're listening to my show. Neil, welcome out to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely happy to. Tell me a little bit about this new book that's coming out in just a couple weeks.
Sure. So if you look at the world that we're in right now, what made America great was the middle class, right? But what we're seeing these days is the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. The middle class essentially is depleting. Now, a lot of people believe that to succeed in life, you need to either be privileged, like grow up with money, inherit it, your parents are well off, you may have gone to Stanford, Harvard, one of those schools that your parents went to, or you just need to be lucky, right? It's like one of those things. Well, that's not always the case. If you look at a lot of people, like I can say about myself, I was an immigrant. My parents didn't have much money at all. My first job was cleaning toilets and picking up trash at a theme park. And I would actually say I'm not that lucky at all, right? You can't always predict right timing, right place. If you look at all the buyout offers that my companies have gotten, I've lost most of them. I've had terrible luck when it comes to selling companies. Yeah, I've done all right. Am I a billionaire? No, by no means. But I've made enough and I'm happy in what I'm doing. So with hustle, there's concepts that a lot of entrepreneurs have leveraged in their lives to succeed. And we teach you those concepts. Even if you aren't trying to be an entrepreneur and you want to work for someone else, we teach you a lot of concepts on how to succeed in life. For example, we talk about, a lot of people these days feel that they don't know what they want to do. And they're stuck in which there's like, oh, you know, when I was a kid, I want to be astronaut or want to be a doctor and I'm not that now and I don't know what I want to do. It doesn't matter if they're 20, they're 30 or 40 or 50. We find a lot of people aren't satisfied with their job and they don't know how to find their passion. And they believe that when you're younger, you just automatically know. And as you already know, that when you're passionate about something, you're likely to put in more time, more energy, and it increases your likelihood of success. We teach you that you can find what you're passionate about through trial and error, and we break down the process. So think of it this way. My first job was picking up trash, right? I also, at the same time, did vacuum sales door-to-door. I sold a $1,600 Kirby vacuum. I wasn't successful at it. I've also worked at a movie rental place. Right now, I specialize in marketing. That's my true passion, right? And I got there by, oh, let me go find a job online. Couldn't find a job online. Went to a theme park, took the normal job that most kids have. And while I was doing that, I was looking at that job website and I was like, wow, monster.com makes a lot of money. Let me create a copycat of it. I created a copycat of it. It didn't do well. And when I put it up, I was like, no one's coming to my website. So I learned how to drive traffic to my own site because I had no more money. And from the whole process, the site still didn't make any money, but I learned how to drive traffic. And then I went into consulting. I was like, oh, let me help other people drive traffic to their site. They'll probably have similar issues that I did. And you know what? I made a decent living doing that, but I hated it. And then from there, I realized that some of the companies that I was working with couldn't figure out why their visitors weren't converting into customers. So then I got into the software realm and started creating software that helped these companies. And eventually through that whole process, I realized that I enjoy creating software and marketing my own software. Like that is what I love to do, B2B software, and specialize within my organization of just focusing purely on marketing. But you learn through trial and error, right? If I didn't even do the job of selling vacuums door to door, I wouldn't have learned how to sell and I wouldn't realize that, hey, sales isn't for me. Because I thought at the beginning, sales would be awesome and that I should do sales, right? So a lot of people learn through trial and error and we teach you that, right? And we give you a lot of different concepts and that's just one of the things that we teach you in order for you to succeed.
So consistently stepping out of your comfort zone, but then taking a scientific approach to that and almost A-B testing your passion, seeing I'm trying this new thing. Do I love it or do I love parts of it? And then applying it in and but constantly moving. Now, a lot of people today, especially once they get into their career and get on with their life, they get stuck. You know, they may not be in a career that they love. They may not be doing something that they have a passion for, but it's paying their bills. How do you apply the principles of hustle to start having more meaning in your life when you're already doing something?
Yeah, so we call it the cycle of cycle of suck.
That's a good term for it.
Yeah, and what ends up happening is you feel stuck because you're not taking action. If you take action in different things and you try different things like I'm talking about, right? Eventually you'll get out of just feeling stuck in life. You need to create that momentum. And the only way to create that momentum is by taking action.
I totally agree. That's an awesome point. Now today's resume, things have changed, right? It used to be, you know, you'd fill out your CV, you'd put it in the pile of 1,000 other people and you hope and pray. What should people be doing today differently?
You need to stand out. So I get tons of resumes each and every single week. You know how many of them I really look at? Little to none. Of course, when we're hiring, we go back and someone on the team skims them. But you know what? The people we end up hiring are the ones who stick out. So, for example, I remember a lady, I believe it was a lady, she wanted a job. It could have been a guy or a girl. Wanted a job at Airbnb. And Airbnb, if people don't know who they are, big tech company, I think they're worth like $20 billion at this point, and it's just a easier way to get a hotel at a cheaper rate, and people in essence rent out their houses, rooms, condos, etc. for like a day. And with this, she's like, I want a job there, and so bad, she created a video explaining all the things she would fix or change. Now, by doing that, she went above and beyond. Instead of saying, here's my resume and here's where I'm qualified for the job, she pretty much says, screw that, let me just show you what I can help you fix. And it wasn't even about a job opening. When people email businesses and they say there's something wrong and here's what you need to do to fix it, these businesses don't care if they have a job opening for that. If you stand out, you will get hired to fix that problem plus do more. Why? Because you're a go-getter. You're taking action. Companies love that. And those are the people who thrive and succeed within organizations.
Yeah, I think anybody who's ever run a company or even managed a business or anything loves the person that comes to them with solutions, not just problems. And so I think that's a huge opportunity to come and try to provide solutions first and then seek the job after. Now, you're now over 30 or still under 30?
I'm over 30. I'm 31.
Attaboy. All right, we're getting up there now in age. You've done several really big things. You mentioned that they haven't all been a success, which I think the failures in business we learn just as much, if not more, from than our success. They say success is a horrible teacher because it makes us think we're invincible. What would you tell yourself now? Like, what would your 31-year-old self, what would be your biggest piece of advice to your 20-year-old self?
The biggest mistake I've made in my career is not focusing. I tried too many things. I got into like those hot ideas. I had no clue what I was doing and I lost my shirt. So I would tell myself to focus on what I'm good at and don't do anything else until the business starts flatlining in revenue. Once you have no more growth, then you expand into different product lines and different avenues or acquiring other businesses or, you know, try to create different divisions of your company. But if you're still growing at a healthy pace, why would you derail from that, right? And once you derail some of your time and effort, you'll notice that your growth rate slows down.
I've experienced that personally, where you're starting to have some success and things are good. But a lot of us as entrepreneurs are so enthralled with the new start and the new product that we take our foot off the pedal of the current product. So I think that's huge advice to our 20-year-old selves just as much as our 30-something-year-old selves. Now, the first time I was introduced to you through, you know, virtually was through an article about a watch. Tell me about watches and Ferraris.
Yeah, so I thought it would be fun to do an experiment. I took my roommate at the time and myself, and I was like, huh, do people actually judge us based on looks, appearances, what we drive, what they think, if we are successful, if we're not successful, versus based on our intellect? And what I found is just being smart isn't good enough. Being able to help out a company isn't good enough. It's sad, but it's true. People want to work with others that they like, admire, look up to. And what I did was I did an experiment where I spent like different amounts of money on a lot of things. Like I spent over $100,000 on clothes. I spent, I have a lot of watches. That's my bad habit. I spent like, you know, over $100,000 on just one watch. It looks plain and simple. Most people look at it, it looks like it's like $500. And what I learned was when you dress like you're successful, you have, let's say, nice things like a watch or whatever, maybe or even a car, people take you more seriously. It sucks, but it's the reality, and they actually want to work with you. And what I found is when I had a nice watch, when I dressed better, people not only want to work with me more, but they're willing to pay me more too. And it was so silly because it's like my knowledge is pretty much the same that it was when I started doing that, right? Sure, I'm learning new things every day, but it's not like a drastic difference like it was when I was 16 years old compared to now, right? And it's just funny how society, even smart, successful people, judge you based on your appearance, your looks, your watches, your cars, your home. In San Francisco, it's not that way, really. Like, most people don't really care what you dress like or look like or if you buy anything that's expensive. And that's great. And I wish the rest of the world worked that way. But the reality is it doesn't.
I think in San Francisco, my theory is that it's because the area is so expensive. They just assume if you're there, you're done. You have the money. The proximity provides the panorama, right? So, but I love that. And I think whether or not, you know, we love that it's true, you've shown through social experiments that it is true. And so a smart entrepreneur will apply that rather than be upset about it. I watched another video of yours when you were talking about client acquisition, and you talked about flipping your funnel. Sales funnels are a really big topic right now in small businesses and entrepreneurship. You've done some really cool things with Hello Bar. What are some examples of flipping your funnel and using the funnel right?
Sure. What most people do is they try to get you to their website or business, and they try to just get you to buy right away instead of giving you a quick taste. So a good example of flipping the funnel is Aura Brush, and they said, hey, you can get a free brush that cleans your tongue. So they said bad breath is mainly caused by the tongue, and they break down the percentages. You can get a free brush that will clean your tongue and get rid of bad breath. All you have to do is share the video or share Aura Brush on social media. And of course, they charge you for shipping. They lose money on the product. I'm guessing they may break even by charging a bit more by charging for shipping. And then eventually, once you buy it, they upsell you into other products. They're like, oh, you can put this gel on your tongue and it helps even more, and you can buy it for like $9. I'm making up the price, but that's the example of flipping around the funnel. You're, in essence, you're getting people to try something, and then if they like it, you can say, hey, now that you're down the path of using the product or the service or a bit of it, you can end up paying for it, right? You can go to like a lot of those free website creators online if you're trying to create a website. They get you started by saying, hey, you know, pick a template, pick your logo. And then once you do all that kind of stuff, like, oh, you want to launch it and make it live? Now you got to pay, but you can build it all for free.
So it really comes down to engaging with the customer, even providing some value and some engagement and experience to the customer before the credit card is asked to come out. But you still ask for the credit card. You're just engaging more first. Is that right?
That's correct, because then it makes people feel more comfortable. The more they engage with you before you ask them for their credit card, the more likely they are to purchase due to the fact that they trust you. They already see that you're giving them value. So if they pay, how much more value will they be getting?
Yeah, it's amazing how much credibility a website can gain just simply from somebody being on that website for a longer amount of time. Nothing changes. They are just more comfortable because they've been on that site longer. They've been engaging that business longer. There's that familiarity. Now, you've done this book, Hustle. You have a co-author, correct? And you have business partners in other businesses that you've done?
Yeah, business partners in other businesses that I've done. It's very rare that I create a business on my own because I don't think there's enough time in the day for one person to create a company, right? I know some people have done it. I'm just not good at it because I don't have all skills. And even with the book, I have two other co-authors, Jonas Kofler and Patrick Moskowitz. Patrick's already a New York Times bestselling author. And Jonas, he was a behind-the-scenes guy for a lot of other authors. Like, he helped them. He wrote a lot of books out there. And we both all came up with the concept of Hustle, you know, together. And we're like, we should write a book and we should try to help people succeed in life.
A lot of people will say that business partnerships are hard. And I personally would agree, they are hard, just like any relationship. What advice do you have for people going into a business partnership?
Make sure you know them beforehand, before you jump into a partnership. Now, I'm not saying you need to know them for years before you jump into a partnership, but don't just meet a random person and be like, okay, let's be business partners. Unlike marriage, getting a divorce in business is much more difficult, especially once the business is doing well, because there's employees, there's money, sometimes there's investors. It gets really messy. And for that reason, you should get to know someone, what skills they have, their financial situation. For example, if you're okay and you don't need a salary for the next 6 months, but the other person is struggling, they have a family to feed, a mortgage to pay, and they need to make $10,000 a month, it's going to be really tough for them to commit the same amount of time into the business that you can commit due to the fact that you don't have to worry about bills and you can just focus on a startup, right? So you need to get to know who you're getting in bed with, right? Who you're marrying, because that person should ideally complement you and provide different skills. For example, I can do marketing pretty well. I can do sales somewhat well. My business partner is much better at product and engineering and design. So we complement each other, right? He can do things that I can't do.
That makes a lot of sense. Tell me about launching your personal IPO. There's in everything that we're talking about, in entrepreneurship, in working for somebody else, in intrapreneurship, you have to really place a high value on yourself and take care of yourself. What does it mean to launch a personal IPO?
So the big thing is it's like companies can go public, right? And when they go public, they're worth something. So we call something POP. It's similar. It's personal opportunity portfolio. Why can't a person grow their value, their net worth, right? Similar to a company that's going to IPO. And that's a similar concept in which if you build up the momentum, you build up your reputation, your branding, you do better within a corporation, you too can be worth more too, right? And we teach you in the concepts of the book on how to grow your own value, whether it's going up within a corporation and climbing the corporate ladder or providing value. A lot of people, when they work at a company, all they're trying to do is please their boss, in which they're renting their dreams, in which they're making sure their boss looks good so their boss keeps getting a raise. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but you also want to stand out so your boss not only looks good, but you too look good as well, so that way you can keep climbing, let's say, the corporate ladder, or, you know, get into entrepreneurship, or, you know, get investors, or whatever it may be. But our big thing is your POP, personal, right? So it's, as a person, you can, it's not really like go public, but it's like a similar concept. You can increase in value.
I think, you know, the fallacy is that a lot of people think just by doing their time or just by doing the job duties that are on the job description, that they'll receive, you know, their percent raise increase, that they'll get the job because they're the next in line. And this sounds like what you're saying is that it really comes down to growing the personal value and applying that value to wherever you're currently working. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's just as simple as doing things in 10-minute intervals. Like, you can try to do 10-minute tasks, and I know that's small, and you do things for 10 minutes that helps improve yourself, helps improve the company that you're working at, whatever it may be, your goal, you do 10 minutes, and then you reevaluate and be like, all right, am I on the right track? Am I doing something that's valuable? Should I be doing more of it, right? You're just breaking down in small little increments.
That's great. You are really, like, scientific in your approach. I know that you like A-B testing, process of elimination. What is your, like, one big growth hack for an entrepreneur that, let's just say, is kind of in that, still an in-between startup phase and momentum phase?
Yeah, startup phase and what's the other phase? Like the growth phase? Or?
Yeah, sure. They've gotten going, but maybe they haven't hit stride yet.
Sure. A good growth hack for someone who's in the growth or startup phase trying to go into growth, it's really simple. Go out there, create a blog, write really good content that educates your potential customers. And I don't mean just write content saying, here's why you should purchase our product or service or sign up, you know, to our company. More so educate them, help them solve problems in the marketplace that you're in. That one little thing, if you do it every, you know, few days, like if you do 3 blog posts a week, you do it for a year, eventually you'll build a community or a tribe of really loyal people that will not only sign up for your products or services, but they'll tell other people and they'll promote you, and you'll generate a lot of your revenue that way. Funny enough, all my companies have grown through that one strategy. It's the main thing I use to grow a business.
Wow. That's huge. That if and they've done okay. So that's a pretty solid piece of advice. Neil, I want to thank you for coming out on the show here in Southern California on KMET 1490 on ABC News. And I have one last question that I ask all of my guests. Now, I know you've been successful and you've been able to do a bunch of things, but what's one more thing that you want to accomplish? What's one big item on your bucket list?
Sure. One thing that I really want to accomplish is getting into China. As an American, it's really difficult there. I figured out how to get a domain name finally. It takes a long time. But just penetrating that market, it's a really tough market to penetrate. And it's a whole new animal, which has to relearn everything, right? They don't use Google, they use Baidu. The way they communicate, the way they do business, it's all different. So for me, it's just a fun challenge to see if I can succeed in an environment that has a different culture and a way of doing business.
Awesome. I hope you crush it. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's valuable. And we look forward to seeing the success of your book. And I'll be one of your first customers when you get into business in China.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
How awesome was Neil? Totally shared with us about hustle. Talked to us about his growth hack, about how simple of a growth hack that we all fail to do. Post valuable, good quality content. 2 to 3 times a week, post valuable content. I read a quote that said, you don't want to just post. The goal isn't to make your content look native or look interesting. The goal is to actually make it native and interesting. So providing powerful, good content. One question I was going to ask him was, can you hustle yourself out of a rut? I think every entrepreneur I know gets stuck. They struggle. They hit a roadblock. And how do you get out of that? And sometimes, I mean, just like there's a writer's block, I think there's entrepreneur block where it's hard to just take the next step. And what's funny is the solution is the cure, right? The solution to being stuck is to get moving. I know one of our one of the guys that in the ClickFunnels group who's just amazing and was at Funnel Hacking Live, Alex Charfin, talks about momentum and through contribution. So I love the idea of if you're stuck on your own business, maybe helping somebody else where they're stuck can get you moving again. But the point is you've got to be moving and you got to get things, make things happen. It's not going to happen for you. I'm really excited to have the show back. We're going to have some amazing guests over the next few weeks here on the Biz Ninja Radio Hour, which I keep calling it that because it used to be an hour. Now it's just the Biz Ninja Radio. So thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you listening this far into the show or into the podcast, wherever you're tuning in, whether you're listening terrestrially, digitally, or watching online. I want you to reach out to me. Reach out to me at facebook.com/bizninja. Contact me through the site. Reach out and just talk to me about what it is you're trying to build and where you need help with your momentum. Thank you for listening. Now go out and do something.